From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning,
Talk to me about mortgage data. Are we buying? Are the first home buyers in? Is the housing market moving?
Oh, well, they're back. Yeah, we're going to have a look at mortgage data. Mike, one of the interesting aspects of the current situation, you may have noticed this, is the prevalence of anecdotal evidence. Everyone says, oh, have you heard how this is going? Have you heard how that is going? And I mean, the latest one, Mike, and this is completely off topic already, but luxury cars, apparently sales are going through the roof. Now, why is that happening? So lots of stuff that's hard to explain. So residential real estate, right. The initial thoughts were that COVID-19 would be pretty negative, and then some of those were for the residential real estate market. Some of those worst forecasts were moderated. Now in sort of pockets, we hear that agents are busy, there's not enough stock, prices are selling for above CVs. But let's have a quick look at the mortgage market and see what that's telling us. Now, I've talked over the last few weeks about the core logic, that early indicators data, and that suggests the mortgage market was busy. Now, we saw some data out of the RBNZ released at the end of last week that confirms that is the case. So total monthly new mortgage commitments were $5.3 billion in June. Now, that's well up on May, which isn't surprising because, you know, you'd expect sort of everything to get moving again. But it's up 24.2%. But if we compare it to 2019, it's down 1.4%. Now, that doesn't seem like a particularly material fall, but the first home buyers are back. $0.8 billion lent to that group in May, $1.1 billion in June. So the first home buyer accounted for 20.3% of the mortgage commitments, up from 18.5% in May. But get this, Mike, at 20.3%, that's the highest share of new mortgage commitments since that collection of that data series back in 2013. So, I mean, anecdotally, people say it's tough to get mortgages, it's tough for first home buyers, but the numbers suggest the amount being lent to first home buyers is actually pretty solid.
Good stuff. And cheap money too at 2.5% or whatever it is going at the moment. Now, the US and China, yes, we talk about trade, but what about capital?
Yeah, so the focus is starting to go back in these US-China tensions, and I think you talked about that yesterday morning, Mike, and you had these tit-for-tat embassy closures, and the fear is that this extends back into the trade disruptions, so that trade deal that was signed between Trump and Xi Jinping gets dragged out, gets renegotiated. But there is another potential battlefield, Mike, which could have reasonably long-term implications. This is the battle in and for the capital markets. So at the moment, you've got your two big economies, you've got US and China. But the North American share market accounts for between 55 and 60% of global share market capitalization. So for all its economic power, the Chinese share market has not sort of matched its economic growth. And it's really, you know, it's quite underdeveloped. Now, a year ago, Mike, almost exactly a year ago, June 2019, China launched what was called the Star Market. And the idea was that would embody the vision for a modern international finance center with less stringent regulation than there is on other Chinese share market sort of boards. And the idea that you'd have easier access to capital for the country's tech startups. Now, it's got 120 companies listed. I think it's around 600 billion New Zealand dollars, but new listings are increasing. And what's important here is that there isn't the same degree of control or regulations over the Star Market as there are in other exchanges. But recently, they got a big semiconductor manufacturer listed, $7 billion, called SMIC. There's a board called the Chinex, that's the tech board on the Shenzhen Stock Exchange, that's talking about adopting the same rules as the Star Market. But this could start to see China attracting firms that historically would have been attracted to Hong Kong or the Nasdaq. Yeah. And China has a lot of tech startups, Mike. And so, you know, it's just, we could see that, you know, as part of these US Sino tensions, that companies start to say, well, look, let's list in China.
Amazing times, eh? What are the numbers?
26,519 on the Dow Jones, so it's up about 50.19%. The NASDAQ 3233 up 18, about 0.5% gain. And the NASDAQ up 1.29%, up 103 points, 10,496. Overnight, the FTSE 100, 6104, lost 19, about 0.3%. The Nikkei 22715, lost 36. The Shanghai Composite 3205, gained 8. Yesterday, the ASX 200 gained 20 points, closed at 6044. That's about 0.33%. And the NZX 50, we lost 51 points, down 0.44%, closing at 11,585. On the currencies, Kiwi dollar flying strong again, 0.6682 against the US, 0.9363 Aussie, 0.5684 Euro, 0.519 pounds, 70.35 yen. Gold, highest finish ever, I believe, $1,937.96. And Brent crude, $43.42.
Nice work. Catch up tomorrow, Andrew Kelleher and the good guys at jmiwealth.co.nz.